Speaking of red flags in a relationship, I actually had a really good friend who her boyfriend at the time would get pissed off when she would hang out with me or any other friend. We would have to FaceTime him while we hung out to make sure she was actually with me. And it was so annoying. It was like, what is your issue? Like, she's literally with me. We're not making out. Yeah. We're not doing stuff. Like, what is your problem with me? Oh, I hated him so much.
R-O-T-N, let me present to you the Rotten Podcast, the Rotten Podcast.
How do you want me to say it?
Rotten. All right, guys, good morning. Welcome back to the Rotten Podcast. We're on episode 42, baby.
Let's go.
We're drinking Alani Nu, and when I say we, I mean actually just me. I think I drank this last time, but this is the Kimmaid. It is so freaking good. I literally crave it.
It's very good. So unlike me. Yeah,
so
I made a switch from drinking coffee in the afternoon to drinking like energy drinks like that.
You've also made a switch from drinking coffee to drinking boba.
No, on occasion, but not that often.
So there's a spot in LA called Chicha San Chen. If you guys have never heard of it, it is like the only boba spot that has the equivalent of 3 Michelin stars. Their original location is in Taiwan. They brought 3 locations to the United States, 1 in Seattle, 2 in LA. And it is like the best boba I've ever had in my entire life. And even Matt craves it, which is so unlike him.
It's very true.
The other day you're like, do you want to get chicha? And I was like, yes, let's do it.
We've had such a reverse in roles. You're like, asking me about going to the gym,
mm-hmm.
saying you need to eat more protein,
mm-hmm.
and I'm over here eating candy and asking about boba. Look at the influences.
I will say, I don't know if you guys have noticed, because I don't post Instagram photos as often anymore, but I have gained weight, which is fine, but I don't even feel like I've gained weight because I've gained weight in all of the right places because of protein. I feel like my hips have gotten wider. My butt is bigger. My abs look stronger.
Look at you listening to me for a change.
Look at you listening to me for a change. Eating candy and boba.
But I don't like notice at all when you say that you gained weight. Like mm-hmm. I notice definitely in your hips and your butt, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see it anywhere else. Like when you're like, oh, I gained weight and I just literally cannot see it.
Yeah, I think I don't want to trigger anyone and just like, we're going to maybe talk about this for a little bit, but I used to be 92 pounds last year.
That's insane.
Yeah. And now I'm 98.
Were you not eating as much last year or?
No, I actually, you know what it is? I think I noticed the weight gain started when we started doing our nightly tea and dessert. I really noticed it. Like, I don't mind that I'm gaining weight. Because for me, it feels, I don't know, I just feel like healthier and stronger. Also, I'm doing a lot more work in horseback and then also
eating protein. It probably helps with that. You feel like more stable and centered when you're on the horse. Do you feel like that helps or no?
So I've gotten bucked off like quite a bit over the last year and a half. And the only thing that's going to save you to get bucked off is having really strong thighs to grip your body and having...
I've definitely noticed... your thigh grip in other areas
okay.
of life.
Well, and also it really helps to have really strong back strength so that when you lean backwards while it's bucking you, you can also pull the reins back.
Yeah.
Like if your like reins are too long or you don't have enough back strength, if you're not leaning far back enough, you will just literally fly over the horse, which I have done.
But you always show me all your videos and people don't realize how hard it is riding horses.
And how tough you have to be to ride a horse.
Yeah, like to get back up and keep doing it. I mean, a lot of people are like, wow, you're so resilient. People that know horses are like, you have to be tough to keep getting back on that horse, which is why that's probably a saying, right? Like get back on the horse and keep going.
Is that a saying?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard it.
Really?
Yeah, no. I don't enjoy falling off a horse or, you know, getting thrown off a horse. But my trainer, Kelly, keeps telling me, she's like, you are like one of the most tough students I've ever had. Because the second I fall off the horse, I'm like smiling ear to ear. And I'm always like, did you get it on camera? Did you get it on camera? Please tell me you got it on camera.
You're so resilient. Just a little cockroach.
And then she's always like, do you want to get back on? And every single time I'm like smiling. Yeah. Like, yeah, let's get back on. And she's like, I wish I could take some of that from you and like give it to my other students. Which
I'm sure they get
really
so just thrown off and disheveled yeah. and not wanting to finish out the lesson. You know what else I think would be really helpful, which I learned from Peter Attia, who's a doctor. He's pretty well known. Mm-hmm. He's written some really amazing books, and he's been on like a bunch of podcast circuits and stuff. And he really studies longevity and living longer. And one of the things that he does in his practice for older people, because I didn't even know this because it's not something I would have to worry about. I'm 31 years old. But when you're older, a lot of ways that people get injuries and die even is from slipping. So what he has his patients do is really develop their grip strength. Because, you know, if you're thinking about grabbing onto a rail or holding yourself up, if you fall, being able to pick yourself up, just mitigating the damage of potentially slipping when you're old and a little bit more frail. He even has them like holding, like just like holding onto a bar.
By themselves.
Yeah. Just like grabbing.
Like a pull up without pulling up.
Yeah. Just like holding. I'm sure if you developed your grip strength too, that would maybe help, right? Like with the reins, feeling a little bit more.
It's not even the grip thing. It's me pulling backwards like
so
this. Back,
so rows and stuff would make you.
And they're like 1,200-pound horses that are incredibly strong. So they will like move their head and shake it to like get you to like loosen up on the reins. But I think a lot of people look at people who ride horses as if they're abusing them, because if you watch me ride, you see me holding a crop or a whip and then kicking my horses on the belly. But think about it. It's like a baby kicking me as an adult. I'd be like, that doesn't hurt me at all. But I'll give them my attention if they're annoying and pestering me. And that's really what I'm doing when I'm riding my horse. I'm like pestering them to do what I want them to do. It doesn't really hurt them. But my friend Lexi, who maybe some of you guys have known about, she posted a video where she like did a day in my life riding my horse. And one of the horses that her and I ride is Pick. And he's 30 years old, which is incredibly old in horse years. And people were commenting, wow, like your trainer is abusing that horse. He shouldn't be riding anymore. He's 30. Well, the thing is, it's all he's known his entire life. And he'd die faster if no one ever rode him. And he just became like a farm pasture horse. Like,
I mean, people are sensitive about anything. They'll say anything. But if the horse is what, 1,800 pounds?
1,200 to 1,400.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then that's really not that much for a 90.
I'm a 98-pound
And I'm sure
girl.
A lot of it, too, is confidence. Like, it's probably not as much about strength as it is about how confident you are in your own body.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're like empathetic animals. They can really, really gauge and feel your energy. Like if I'm tense, oh, they're so tense. If I'm freaked out, they can feel it. So like when I fall off and I get back on, I have to push every single intrusive thought aside, being like, I'm not gonna fall off again, because if I'm scared, it's gonna happen again. And that's happened multiple times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just know what you're feeling.
That would be
would
fun.
You be upset if I got a horse?
I wouldn't be upset.
We have to talk about when we get married. Like,
I mean, we'd have to
purchase.
Go through. Yeah, we'd have to go through the expenses and stuff to figure out what the cost would be.
On the low end, they're like $10,000
a year to maintain.
No, just to buy.
And then do you know how much they are to maintain?
But on the high end, they go to $250,000. But I wouldn't buy a $250,000 horse. Those are like thoroughbred racing horses that are like competitive pedigrees. But I think it's about $1,000 a month to maintain, which is definitely pricey.
That's pretty pricey.
Yeah. So it's,
we'll see.
But it's so fun for me. And
yeah, you love it.
I love it so much. I'm happy I found a passion and a hobby that just makes me so happy. And like gives me that like adrenaline that I need.
Little adrenaline junkie.
We really got on a tangent here today. But today, I think in today's episode, Matt and I kind of want to talk about relationships. I mean, we've been together for 5 years. And the last episode we put out, it was me and Mickey talking about friendships and how not a lot of people talk about friendships. And I thought it would be really fun to like do the kind of same video, but about relationships, like green flags in relationships, red flags in relationships, signs you're not in a good relationship, sign you should freaking leave, or how we've been able to make it to the 5-year mark and not hate each other.
True. But not even just hate each other. I think something we both pride ourselves on, and people obviously don't see behind the scenes, but we have so much passion and genuine love for each other. And that feels rare, where when you're with someone for 5 years, you get so excited to still hang out with them and spend time with them. I'm not saying it's unheard of or it's that rare, but it's not a very common thing. I think most people going through the motions of life and in and out of relationships, you always wonder, you're like, am I going to get sick of this person? you know? And I think we've gone through so much in our relationship and so much growing where we've really figured out how to have a very healthy, stable, passionate, loving relationship that we both appreciate so much. And I think it would be great to talk about that, because to get there, you definitely have to go through a lot of ups and downs, and you have to grow a lot as an individual. And I think we've gotten to a really good place over the past couple years. And the last part of that is, like, we both are so annoyingly needy for each other's time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's crazy to have a friendship even.
Yeah.
Of 5 years where you're spending so much time with that person and you can't wait for them to get home. You can't wait for them to be done with work so you can spend time. And it's like, I'm so proud of us for that, because you do kind of have those fears and thoughts when you're in a relationship and things are going good and it's new and you're like, what's going to happen in the future? What's going to happen in 3 years? Where will I be in 10? And I think a lot of people are scared about being in long-term relationships. And I know even my older sister, she recently got engaged, like right at, pretty much after us. And I remember having a conversation, and, you know, she's been affected by my parents' divorce, and she was just a little worrisome that what's going to happen in 10, 20 years? Like, will I still love this person, you know? And I think, first of all, you can't think that far ahead. You have to really just take the day to day.
Yeah.
But I totally get that fear. I think even getting engaged, it's like, it's a scary commitment.
Yeah. And it's not one that either of us take lightly at all.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of thought and work that goes into being happy and staying happy in a relationship. And for us, it didn't come easy. At one point, I think we've talked about this, like, Matt and I went to couples therapy for over, like, I would say a year and a half.
Time
flies so fast.
I think a year and a half.
Yeah, I think a year and a half. And it made both Matt and I learn so much about not only ourselves, but each other, which I think also helped grow our relationship. Because I think before couples therapy, I had a very rudimentary idea of, you know, how to act or how to process my feelings and my emotions and how to communicate. But I think going to couples therapy, which I don't think everyone needs, but if you are struggling with something and you're like, but I still love this person, but, like, why can't we figure out this one thing? Like, why don't I feel comfortable asking him or talking to him about it? Or why can't we, like, fix this one issue? Allow someone else to help you in that aspect.
Yeah, and I do think everyone should go to couples therapy. Even if you have a great relationship, it can always be better. And I was thinking about this the other night. I'm like, I think I was just having a high thought. I was laying in bed and I honestly was just sitting there so happy, like, because we spend so much time together and it brings me so much fulfillment. And it's very difficult to get to that stage in life. It's really difficult to get to that feeling where you feel so fulfilled from love. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that comes from self-love, but I was just thinking about it and I'm like, are we not taught how to love someone? Like, we get taught everything in life almost. I mean, there's a lot of things they don't teach in school, but they teach so many different things, but they don't teach you about relationships, like, or
social
love
connections.
But that seems like such an important part about life, because no matter how successful you are, no matter what you're going through in life, you're always going to value and cherish your relationships, because you could be having an incredible, successful career and be making tons of money. But if you have no one to share that with or no one to go home to, you're going to feel empty.
I don't think you need a partner to be happy, though.
Like, no, I don't. And I'm not saying a partner. I'm saying friendships, relationships in general are the most valuable thing of life. Because if you don't have that sense of community, right? They study these blue zones where people live so much longer. And one of the common denominators in those blue zones is very strong sense of community.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Because your quality of life is so much higher when you have a community, when you have family, when you have connection with people. And it's so wild that we aren't really taught that ever. Like, everyone's just stumbling through relationships, not sure what to do, not sure how to voice themselves, not sure how to get their needs met. And no one is taught. And it's like, go to therapy to learn. And it's like, ooh, stigma. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but everything else has someone you can call to get help for, like customer service or an accountant, or you get a mentor, or you get a tutor, or whatever it is in life. We have all these facilities that feel so normal, except for, like, love and relationships.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think what's funny is that you're saying this, and then last week, Mickey had also said that she had read a study where they said, what is the definition of happiness? And a lot of people equate it to success, money, power, whatever. What it really actually boils down to is the quality of your connections and relationships with your family, your partner, your friends, or your cohort, whoever it is. It's like your quality of your connections, which makes sense why the blue zones happen in places where there's a huge sense of community, which mm-hmm. I think is very much lacking in like big towns like LA.
Yeah, in American culture in general. Mm-hmm. I think it's more in the South. Like, I feel like in the South, at least my perception of it.
But I don't think they live long because they also don't eat very healthy. Yeah. I think the blue zones, they also eat healthy on top of.
But I'm saying in the South, it feels way more traditional to have a stronger sense of community and family. Like, bigger families, bigger communities. Even when we're watching Selling OC and that new girl who comes on, whatever her name is, who won Miss Tennessee.
Alejandra.
And her mom and her are having an interview, and her mom's like, you walk down the street, you see your teacher, you see your friend. Like, there's this sense of community. You get that feel just from their one-on-one conversation. Mm-hmm. And again, if number one, if one of the main contributing factors to living a fulfilled, happy life is your relationships, then to me, it seems so backwards that we don't focus more on that as a culture. I think it's becoming more common in more less of a stigma to go to therapy and talk about these things, especially for men. But it's wild that we really don't have those facilities to work on that.
Yeah.
Because I think that would save so many people from wasting time in life, not knowing how to communicate in a friendship, not knowing how to get your needs met.
That's a very high thought. How do we equate that to like signs of a bad relationships? Like, you know, like red flags, green flags.
Aside from the flags, I think the number one thing that is most valuable for a healthy relationship, whether it's a friendship or a romantic partner, is loving yourself and being aware about yourself. Because number one, you can only control yourself. Like at the end of the day, you can never control another person. So the first step, I think, is working on yourself and being very aware of that. So I think a green flag in a relationship is being with somebody that is working on themselves.
Okay, so like for me, I think a red flag would probably be, can you trust your partner and can your partner trust you? Or are you guys like always looking through each other's phones and like, I mean, we have our Find My iPhone on each other, like Find My Friends on each other, but it's not like we're like staring at it 24/7, or at least I'm not. So I think a red flag would be like someone who's always trying to control what you're doing, where you're going, who you're talking to. Huge red flag right there.
I use it to see when you're coming home. I'm like, when are you going to be home? Are you on your way?
Yeah, I wake up all the freaking time to you not being in bed and you like literally gone from the house. So that's only when
check?
I look. Yeah, I check. I'm like, where the fuck is he? But not in like a, oh my God, he's cheating on me. It's just like, did he really go to the gym without saying goodbye? Because like, I love my like good morning kisses and then you leave for the gym. But lately you have not been giving me good morning kisses. You've just been leaving to the gym, which honestly, sometimes I like because sometimes you used to wake me up at like 6 a.m. and then I couldn't fall asleep.
I feel bad
after.
Like disturbing your peace. If you're like dead asleep, mm-hmm. then you've even said before, like when I go to the gym, you weren't able to fall back asleep.
Yeah.
So the last thing I want to do is like disturb your sleep, even if it is for a kiss. And also there's times where I will kiss you and you don't even remember it. So I'm like, maybe a third of the time you enjoy it, but a third of the time you don't remember. And so
the
if you don't,
third,
if,
I hate you for
two,
it.
Yeah. So it seems like two out of the three times it's not beneficial to you. So, yeah. You know, I let you sleep.
Oh, I have another red flag. Have you seen what Justin Bieber wore to Hailey Bieber's launch party?
No.
Oh my God. Okay, so this is a red flag. I think not being supportive of your wife or husband, whoever, huge red flag, huge ick for me. And so I saw photos of Hailey Bieber dressed to the nines, cute ass little mini leather red dress, heels on, pumps. Guess what freaking Bieber is wearing?
Like sweats.
Oh, not even like clean sweats, dirty little stinky ass sweats with Crocs, with his a hat on, giant sunglasses, and his hood over his face tied really tight. So really all you could see was this. to her launch party for her skincare brand.
Oh, wow. That's a
big
one.
And like she looked pissed at him because, like, she's looking like a 10 out of 10. He's looking like a little hobo.
He is Justin Bieber, though, but I know.
Still,
I know.
It's like him not showing.
It's a sign of respect.
Yeah. That's the perfect word for it. The disrespect I felt. And I'm not even a huge, like, Hailey Bieber fan, but I felt, like, so sad for her. Because you want your partner to show up. He physically showed up, but emotionally, you could tell he did not show up for her. Red flag.
That's a good one. That is a really good one.
Big red flag.
I think a red flag is, like, when someone doesn't take the initiative to become friends with your friends.
Oh. Or if they can't get along with your friends.
If they can't get along with your friends.
Or don't like when you hang out with your friends.
Yeah.
I actually had a really good friend who her boyfriend at the time would get pissed off when she would hang out with me or any other friend. And I'd be like, we would have to FaceTime him while we hung out to make sure she was actually with me. And then he didn't even like me because we would hang out so often because we were really good friends at the time. And it was so annoying. It was like, what is your issue? Like, she's literally with me. We're not making out. Yeah. We're not doing stuff. Like, what is your problem with me? Is it because she's giving me attention and not you? Oh, I hated him so much.
But, I mean, and you can't love every one of your significant other's friends, but you definitely, you should still make an effort to try to be friends with them, even if there's something you could do to connect with them or in a certain way. And I think on the other side, a green flag is like someone who is supportive of your relationships and friendships, even if they don't support it, but supporting you for your relationship with that person is a very valuable thing, because the last thing you want is to feel like your partner doesn't like this person. So one, you can't open up about it. Two, you don't feel comfortable going and hanging out with them and being yourself. And now you're kind of like compromising who you are in what I think is an unhealthy way.
Also, it makes your friend feel uncomfortable. So it's like you feel like you have to pick and choose, like, okay, like either I'm going to stay with my boyfriend or stay with my friend, like who I choose. And if you love both of them equally, that's like such an unfair place to be in, especially if your partner's making you feel that way.
Yeah.
But if it's a valid reason, like this person's really rude, like they don't have manners. Yeah. They I don't know, like stole money from like another friend. Like if your partner has a valid reason as to why they don't like them, valid.
Yeah.
If there's like no reason at all and they just don't like you hanging out with anyone because they want to control you.
Bad sign. Also, I mean, even on the person, like I'm sure I have friends that you don't really like that much. It's not like you like everyone, right? And the same is true for you.
I actually really like your friends.
Yeah, and I really like your friends too. But I'm just saying, even if someone isn't like my type or someone that I want to spend time with, those are things I just keep to myself.
But it's the effort.
Yeah, it's the effort for sure. Like if I made the effort to try to be friends with this person and spend the time with them, but maybe deep down I'm like, I don't really like them that much, but I'm not going to tell you that.
Yeah.
Because what good does that do? Again, you're going to be like insecure about it. You're like sitting there being like, who does he not like? No, there's not like one person.
I can think of one person, but I've also come to realize that person was like really rude because they would stay over at our house and like,
yeah, you haven't been friends with that person for like years.
Yeah.
Then it comes to a point where it's like, hey, this is just disrespectful. Like, I actually, and again, it goes back to freaking selling OC. You know, people like with your friendships, at a certain point, your morals and ethics and your character, sometimes if someone's like living a lifestyle that or acts a certain way that you genuinely don't want to associate with, then that's a different story.
Speaking of red flags in a relationship, and this isn't always a red flag, but if your partner has a lot of friends from the opposite sex.
Yeah.
Now, I'm only saying this because of, if you guys haven't seen Selling OC, Tyler is like the main guy. Like everyone fucking loves him. And he's like seven friends that are girls. And every single one of those girls are trying to make out with him while he is married. So like, I'm not saying that like, you know, every single one of your like friend that's the opposite sex is like trying to get with them. But if they have a lot, like, I mean, a lot of friends that are the opposite sex and they're a little too close with them, I'm going to say red flag.
Yeah.
I think it's normal to have like one or two best friends that are like the opposite sex. Like Brett and Brian for me are like my best guy friends.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's no like chemistry, like literally like at all.
100%. I agree with that.
Honestly, watching Selling OC, you see a lot of red flags. You're like, oh, that's a red flag. Red flag. Mm-hmm. Red flag. Red flag. Red flag. Red flag. Okay, so this is another red flag. And I need to like school you. Not school you. That's a wrong term. But like teach you or educate you on this type of fetish. If your partner is not supportive of your goals of being a better person, right? Like,
whoa.
Being healthier, creating stronger bonds with your family or friends, like going to school again, like something like that. And I'm only bringing this up because there is a fetish called feederism. Have you heard
feederism?
Of feederism?
There's an ism for everything.
Okay, feederism is a fetish of dating someone and overfeeding them till they get fat.
Feeding fetish.
It's a feeding fetish.
Oh, I thought
Feederism? I have poor pronunciation.
You threw me off because of what you said before that about someone who doesn't support your goals. So I thought it was going to be some weird fetish where it was like someone has a fetish of being with someone and then like secretly plotting against them or not supporting them.
No. Feederism is a fetish of overfeeding your significant other and like watching them overeat. Like literally just like being like, are you hungry? Well, you should eat because I made this food for you. And then like that person isn't eating, but they're like shoving you food down your throat to the point where like either you die or you're like super literally obese.
That's insane.
And I only heard about this because there's a girl who was dating a guy that was into feederism and she didn't realize it until she's tried to start losing weight. Like she had gained like 100 pounds dating him. And then when she tried to start losing that weight, he was so against it, so pissed at her, was always pissed at her if she said she was on a diet, pissed at her if she was like eating like a healthy meal. And the only time she found him ever happy was when she was eating unhealthy. And she also said that he would never eat when she was eating. It was always like he would ask her.
So this is a real fetish or is this a specific like person?
No, that's a real fetish.
Wow.
It's called feederism. And we actually watched it with James.
Yeah.
On 600 Pound Life.
Yeah.
Who has sadly passed away now where his wife or girlfriend kept.
Just feeding the
feeding him.
She's like, all right, it's time to go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to.
Like he gained weight on 600 Pound Life. My 600 pound life when you're supposed to be losing weight. And even the doctors were like, he's only gaining weight when she's around. So she was like into feeding him. She was
sneaking him like fast food.
She was trying to kill him.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like this fetish.
That is so weird. I think another.
So that's a red flag.
I think another big red flag is when somebody doesn't make an effort with your family or aww. makes you feel like they don't support your family as much, whether that be like coming to plans or whatever it is. Like,
yeah, I would say that's a red flag where, you know, you invite your significant other to family events and they're always like, nah, I don't want to do it. And I get it if it's like a lot, if it's like a multi-weekly thing. Yeah. But I think if it's like a few times a month, totally normal.
Yeah.
To want to see your family and have your significant other with you.
Yeah, you should be trying to bond with that person's family. I mean, that is such a huge part of who they are. That's a huge part of their life. They'll always be in their life, hopefully, if they have somewhat of a healthy relationship with their family. So your significant other should be putting in effort to build good relationships with your with the other person's family.
Yeah, I agree. I think it takes time to get there.
Yeah.
I think it takes like a few years for you to feel really comfortable to come often.
Yeah. But, you know, it goes back to just being in a good, like being in a relationship again is hard because you have to put yourself out there. You have to put yourself in so many uncomfortable situations. And that's definitely one of them. I mean, I think we all remember the time we've met our significant other's family for the first time, you know, because it is uncomfortable that you're afraid how they're going to, you know, if they're going to judge you, if they like you, you don't want to disappoint your partner. But even aside from how difficult and challenging it might be, you should still be putting in that effort. And so my flag is like, you're not putting in the effort or you don't care to at least try.
How did you feel when you first met my family? What were you feeling?
I mean, I met your sister like in the first week or two of us dating. So that kind of was like an icebreaker because I really like Tree. I love both of your sisters so much. So meeting her right away, I was like, okay, I'm starting to like inch my way a little bit in. Mm-hmm. And she was so cool. And like, I felt like we hit it off. Like we were outside, like taking like a couple shots or whatever. And you were like, come in, whatever.
Yeah. I actually got annoyed at you that night.
Yeah, I know.
Did you?
Yeah, because I was like telling her it's okay to smoke a cigarette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Tree is my sister who likes to smoke cigarettes when she's drunk. I don't know if she still does that, but at the time she was wanting to, and I'm just so grossed out by cigarettes. And when you said that to her, I was like, oh, this man has smoked cigarettes before. And I was just actually really disgusted. I was like, okay, well, fuck tonight, and then bye-bye.
Yeah, but then I met Tammy.
Have you ever smoked a cigarette while we dated?
Never.
Yay.
See, I was like very on and off. I smoked cigarettes for a bit, and then I was on and off for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And then when we met and you had such a negative, strong reaction to it, I completely just took it out of my possibilities of things to do, which I needed to. And then also the rise of vapes came up and stuff like that. So whenever I was feeling that urge, I would just like hit a vape and stuff like that. And then I have no craving for a cigarette.
Yeah.
Like I'll smell it sometimes and I'll be like, that smells good. I do want one.
Really?
But it's not a serious craving. It's not like I'm like, you know, like a nicotine addiction and craving, there's like a feel. And I don't have that feel at all. It's more of just like, oh, that would be nice right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, when I met Tammy, she came over and stayed. And like we dropped them off at a wedding. And
that's when we met Tommy, right?
Yeah, we hung out with them. So I felt like because I got to know your sisters first sort of individually, it really made me feel more comfortable. It's not like I was just thrown into the fire and meeting everyone all at once. And you're obviously closer with your sisters. So to me, that was the most important, was like building a good relationship with your sisters. And when I met your whole family for the first time, I loved it. You scared the shit out of me to like meet your mom and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when I met her, I was like, she's definitely culturally so much different than I am and so much different than my mom. But she wasn't as nearly as intimidating as you thought. And we ended up building a good relationship. Yeah. Like we'll text randomly. And like, you know, I think she really likes me. And I really enjoyed meeting your family when we went for Christmas.
Yeah. I remember meeting Jennifer maybe, when did you introduce
us? That was like in the first 2 weeks for sure.
Wow.
When we went to go like dancing.
Well, I know, I just don't know the date, but I do remember how I felt. I was like really excited. But then when I finally met her and I met all of your friends at once, it wasn't just like a one-on-one session. It was like a lot. It was like a lot of your friends and Jennifer. I really felt overwhelmed. And I hid in the bathroom for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
So I felt a little insecure because like it's a lot. I definitely felt very overwhelmed at that time. And you were talking to your friend Celeste, who was a girl. And I didn't think like you guys were like dating or anything, but like you guys were such good friends that it was me, you and her, but you guys were just talking. And I felt so not included in the conversation.
That's always uncomfortable.
That I was like, what am I doing here? Like, I feel weird. I'm just like standing there. No, I just felt like I was just standing there butting into your conversation instead of feeling like I was a part of the conversation. It wasn't like you guys were trying to exclude me.
Yeah, no, I get that.
I was being really bad at including myself.
Yeah.
So then I literally ran into the bathroom. I didn't run. Okay, I walked. I walked into the bathroom, pretending I needed to pee. And I sat in there for 15 minutes, texting my friends at the time, being like, I feel so insecure. Like, I just met his family and his friends. Like, what am I doing here? I just want to leave. I literally wanted to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then my friends, like, talked me down, and I went back out. I was like, okay, like, I'm just going to butt into this conversation. But yeah, Jennifer's super nice. I freaking love her to death. She feels like my little sister that I've never had. And then, oh, like I freaking adore Andrew as well. And then your family is so sweet. I feel like there's like no one in your family that I don't like.
Well, you wouldn't tell me and you wouldn't say that, but yeah.
No, I wouldn't tell you, but I don't feel like I don't like anyone in your family.
Again, you wouldn't tell me.
I did have a boyfriend who I didn't like his little sister.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You probably didn't tell him, obviously. I mean, no, people I can pick up on stuff, so I'm sure maybe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think another red flag, and we've done like pretty much all red flags, but I think another red flag would be when your significant other doesn't invite you to hang out with friends or a certain friend group or something,
oh,
you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are you hiding?
Yeah, or it's like, you don't like this combination.
It could be the other way around. Like, you don't want your boyfriend around your own friend group because XYZ, that's like a flag of like, maybe that's not your person. Because like, your person should be a partner that really compliments you.
Yeah.
And you want to show off. And you want to bring around to people. You want to bring to your friends, your family, everyone, because you're so proud of them. If you don't feel proud of them, and I've had boyfriends, and I'm like, I don't want to bring them around. Yeah. I don't know.
I've been there too.
Like, you feel like you have to babysit them.
Mm-hmm. And again, we've said this before, but that is one of the things that I love most about you.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, I love bringing you around.
Yeah.
Because I love showing you off, number one.
Yeah.
You're like my little prize possession. And then number
showing you off.
And then number two, I feel like you're so good at meeting new people. That's one of my favorite things about you, for sure. Is like, you leave a good impression and you make me look better.
Aww.
But like, a partner that makes you look worse around people is definitely a red flag.
Yeah. I agree. I really agree. I had a really good one and it slipped my freaking mind. Oh. You don't need to have sex to be happy. I feel like a lot of relationships, they use sex as a way of like coping with the fact that they're not the right partner with them because they're like, but the sex is so good. The sex is so good. But the sex, like, I can't find someone else that has better like sex skills, right? But there's sex like skills. There's like no like depth to the relationship.
Yeah.
That's probably a red flag. If there's nothing else like going for you guys other than really good sex,
yeah,
that's like so amazing that you're like, I can't leave them.
Yeah.
I mean, we like, let's be honest, we've gone like weeks without having sex.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not like we're like, oh my God, is something wrong in a relationship because we're not having sex? It's like, oh, like we just don't need it.
Yeah.
Like, right.
I mean, again, everyone goes through different stages of sexual desire, especially when you're in a long-term relationship, you go through like periods where you're like getting it on a ton. And then there's times where it's like a little more routine, more just a way to connect. But yeah, the red flag would be like, you can't feel connected to that person without sex.
Yeah.
So I think one thing again that I love about our relationship is we have so many different ways of being intimate that don't require a sexual encounter.
Yeah.
You know, we can lay on the couch and be so like cuddled and snuggled or like make each other meals or spending time or holding hands and doing things that aren't sexual that give us the same form of intimacy and connection. But if we weren't as good unless we were having sex, that would be a really bad red flag.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm not saying having a lot of sex is a red flag. I'm just saying if you use it as a band-aid for not feeling connected in other ways, or like if you guys get in a fight and that's like the only way to make up is like through sex, like probably red flag.
Yeah. And there's times where that happens because obviously if you remove the stigma around sex in general, it's one of the most intimate things you can do with someone. Mm-hmm. You're like naked, you're close. It's like the closest you get with someone. And there are chemicals that you release when you have sex and when you connect with somebody. So it's not unhealthy to make up or be connected through sex. It's only unhealthy if that's your only outlet and you're doing that every time and you can't get there without it.
Yeah, I agree. I think another sign you're in an unhealthy relationship is if you feel like you can't be honest about things that are bothering you.
Yeah. That one's tough and that's nuanced. And I think that is why so many relationships break down, because eventually someone does something that you don't like and you, when you're first starting out, you kind of just keep it in. You're like, I'm not going to say anything. And then it starts to build up. And then maybe you say it and you've already built up so much emotion about it that when you finally voice it, and maybe it's not the right setting, they kind of like shut it down or they don't realize how big of an issue it is for you. Mm-hmm. Then it becomes even worse. It's like a cyclical pattern because you can't express it. You've already built up so much that you're afraid to.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's happened even in our relationship where I'm like, I've built up maybe this emotion where like now I'm fearful to say it because if I don't get the right reaction, then I know it's going to hurt me so much.
Or like in my instance, I've been scared to bring up things for you because I don't want to hurt your feelings or your ego or whatever it may be. But I think when I'm saying this, it's a red flag is if you're scared because they'll like throw a temper tantrum. They'll like try to break up with you. They'll like fight with you. They won't give you a safe space to listen to you. But again, it is very nuanced. And like there are times where I'm like, okay, like I don't know how to properly like tell you something without hurting your feelings or, you know, XYZ or me feeling like I'm like attacking you. I don't want you to feel attacked in any way. So I think that's like a sign of a healthy relationship if we're like thinking about what the other person's feelings. But if it's like, I can't tell this person this because they're going to fly off the handle, then.
Yeah, definitely a red flag. Relationships, so hard. Even with friendships, always saying what you feel is hard, no matter if it's a romantic partner or if in school or if it's in your job.
Yeah.
So it's not like a red flag if it's difficult or you're bottling something up, because we're humans. That stuff happens all the time. But it's all about how, one, you communicate your feelings. It's all about how, are you able to deal with this on your own, or is it something that really bothers you where you need to voice it because it's just going to eat you alive. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's so many personal things you can do in that situation. First, I think helping is like talking to someone about it. Maybe that's not your partner. Like, yo, have you ever experienced this? Like, this bothers me or whatever. Maybe sometimes you just need a vent.
Yeah.
I think that that's like a healthy outlet, is differentiate the difference between just needing to vent about something versus really needing your partner to acknowledge how you're feeling.
That's a good one. I like that.
But sometimes people just want to be heard, and it doesn't necessarily matter if it's the other person.
I think they just want you to say, oh, I get what you're coming from. Oh, I understand. Oh, I can try to be better. Oh, I'm really sorry. You know,
mm-hmm.
just acknowledging.
Yeah.
Or even taking the time to think about what your actions did.
Yeah. And a lot of times too, when you're living with someone and we've been living together for 4 years.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's the longest I've ever lived
even
with
anyone. Even if it was just a roommate. Yeah. Sometimes you have to really weigh pros and cons. Like you do things that I don't like and I do things that you mm-hmm. don't like. Like I'm loud. I might leave a little mess here. I might not do this. And then there's things that you do. And so sometimes you have to.
I'm too quiet. I leave a little bit of a mess.
You leave a big mess.
Yeah.
but in a different way. You leave messes in different ways. Yeah, you're messy. I'm dirty.
Yeah. Like you leave.
I'll leave like a stain, but I won't leave like a
clutter.
Yeah. If it's like a empty box of Cheez-Its, it's automatically going in the garbage for me. For you, you'll have empty box of Cheez-Its like on the couch or in your room or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not
but
dirty.
I won't have,
there's
like
no crumbs.
Tea stains or.
However, you have been getting a little dirtier lately, turning into me with crumbs.
I've become we are like rubbing off each other on like certain ways. I don't mean like yours. Slob, but like when you eat, you do have things like fall out of your mouth.
You're not a slob, but like when you eat, you have like shit all over the place, but definitely not a slob.
Okay, but I've become a little bit of a slob. I literally have an oil stain on this beautiful dress. Like,
and
what?
You've been spilling, and I've gone the opposite direction.
Yeah,
because
so
many
cleaner.
Times, like, you're like, just like shaking your head. I'm like, damn. And now I pointed out to Andrew all the time. I'm like, dude, you got to stop spilling coffee and hot sauce on your shit. Like, yeah. So, again, back to what I'm saying. Sometimes you just have to weigh the pros and cons of, like, should I bring this up? A lot of times, too, it's like, you could be dealing with something else and then these little symptoms get exacerbated by other things that you're feeling. So again, it really comes down to checking in with yourself.
You're like, okay, like I'm actually really mad because I don't trust him. But then these little crumbs are annoying the crap out of me. So I'm going to get really mad about the crumbs, but not like the fact that I don't trust him.
Yeah, totally. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I really like that one. I think we have like some really good signs if you're in a healthy or unhealthy relationship. Let us know down below any other signs of an unhealthy relationship. I think people definitely have different definitions of like what is healthy and unhealthy. Again, we are not experts at all. And yeah. I think this is just our opinions.
We're not experts, but we've definitely had success in our relationship because we're engaged, literally. We're getting married, we enjoy spending so much time together, and we have a healthy way of like communicating with each other.
Which took work.
It took so much work.
And you guys have, I think, honestly, you guys have witnessed it as well. I think, you know, like we've been very honest that like last year we struggled a lot. And like, I feel like this year, for us at least, we laugh so much more. We genuinely want to hang out. Like it's so annoying. And maybe this is so unhealthy to some people if they saw us, but like I can't wait to hang out with you every single day. Like I literally, I'm just like going through the motions of work, life, and everything else just so that I can sit on the couch and eat tea and dessert and hang out with you.
Yeah. Look, I mean, everyone has what they think is a healthy relationship, and at the end of the day, it really just comes down to like, are you comfortable in yourself? Are you fulfilled? Are you getting your needs met? And do you genuinely feel optimistic about life? If you can check off all of those, then the nuances or things that people might not agree with or whatever, they don't matter because mm-hmm. everyone has their own buckets and what they deem to be healthy. But like, it really comes down to just like, how are you in the present moment?
Are you optimistic about life?
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
I love that you said that because I think I've talked about this before where I said I used to think I would die at 32. But after dating you, I can see I'm like happy and excited for the future. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, you're like so excited about grandchildren. Weirdo.
More than children. God damn.
Yeah.
Just got to get over the children so I can get to the grandkids.
Wild.
If our
take.
Kids don't have grandkids, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be one of those like grandmas, like those moms that are like waiting and
when are you gonna?
Countdowning.
Yeah.
Doing
countdowning.
Counting down. Counting down to the days until my kids are having babies. But yeah, so if you guys want to be a part of the podcast, leave us some rotten submissions down below in our little
And
Google.
Genuinely, I'd be curious like if anyone's interested, anything they want to hear us talk about, whether it be our relationship, whether it be just anything in life relating to our careers or just give us some, you know, suggestions down below. We're always reading the comments and love to hear from you guys. And want to just make great conversation.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm trying not to burp.
Yeah.
That Kimmade man is making me burp like crazy. All right, guys. Well, that is it with tonight's episode of the Rotten Podcast. If you guys haven't already, give us those 5 stars, baby. And leave us down in the comments below other signs of an unhealthy relationship.
Love it.
All right, guys. See you next Tuesday.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.